Thank you, Dustin. This hymn again, Francis Havergal, written in 1874. And it is this song where she wrote after she had this deep conviction that although she had been serving the Lord and, you know, doing many things already, but this is 5 years before his death. She wrote this hymn when she was convicted. There's still something that she has not surrendered to the Lord. There's a whole story about this behind this hymn that you can look up. Anyway, this hymn is good because it is immensely practical and applicable for us. What does it mean to say that we have surrendered to the Lord? By the way, when we say surrender, we mean, you know, only a person who is subdued, conquered, defeated would surrender. Am I right? So the question is, brothers, do we live as a defeated one, a conquered one, and a subdued one, and one who is possessed by the Lord and dominated by the Lord? So what does it mean to say our life is for the Lord? Well, this hymn makes it very, very practical. Firstly, my moments and my days, which is what I'm going to talk about here in a moment. If your moments, your days, your hours, your minutes are not the Lord's, then to say that we're the Lord's, it's a bit unreal. I wouldn't say hypocritical, but it is not so real and practical because we live in time, and where our time is, that's where our body is, and that's where our mind is, and so on. Everything about us, the moments and my days. How about we pray these days, Lord, really, take my moments and take my days and order it in a way that is really yours. Take my hands, very practical. That means what you do, what you handle, what you touch. Take my feet, that means where you go, where you wander, where you do things. Take my voice and let me sing. Take my lips, our mouth, brothers and sisters. What is it used for? To talk all kinds of things, worldly things, deadly things. It's for singing. It's for speaking. It's for praying. Take my silver and my gold, our possessions, our material belongings, our material riches. Very, very practical. You know, we say tithing, the Old Testament tithing, which is one-tenth, yeah? But that's the meaning of tithing in the Old Testament is not just one-tenth. It is the top tenth. You can give one-tenth, but it is at the bottom. After you have done everything, what's left, one-tenth, you give to the Lord. That's not tithing. That's just one-tenth. Tithing means it's the top tenth, the cream, the first. It goes to the Lord. That is the spirit of tithing. And this includes not only our possessions, this includes our time, this includes our energy, this includes our being. Are we tithing ourselves to the Lord? Or is it just one-tenth at the bottom? After we have done everything for ourselves, then, Lord, this is yours. That is not tithing. The Lord deserves a lot more than that. Take my will, our will, take my heart, all these inward parts, dear saints. We have spent a lot of time last year in so many things on dealing with the Lord. Our inward parts, part by part, must be the Lord's. Our heart, of course. Our heart, which is represents our whole being, our whole person. And finally, take my love. I pour on your feet. Take myself. And I will be ever only all for thee. All right, now, I'd like to spend the time now, dear saints, concerning the matter of how to make our consecration practical to serve the Lord in the church, to take care of the Lord's need and others' need in the church, to take care of the services, the meetings, so many areas of the church life. Our brother Lee did not talk about this like this is something so, something extreme, something, reckless, you know, something even radical. No. He used the word normal. We're here talking, brothers and sisters, a normal life, but not normal in the sense of the world, not normal in the sense of people on the earth, normal in the sense of what? Of well, again, to quote Brother Lee's word, in a miraculous way, in a divine and mystical way. Normal in that sense. We mean business today to be meet the Lord's need, to avail ourselves to serve the Lord, be useful to the Lord, and not useless in the church life, we need to live a normal life and carry on a normal service. What that means, this normal, this normality, is actually very, very different from the world. You know, don't use the world's normal as our normal. We have a different normal. We because we are not worldly people. We are heavenly people. We're different. You know, don't be afraid to be different, brothers and sisters. Be different. Not be weird. But by nature, by life, by constitution, we are a different people. We are children of God. We are sons of light. We belong to a heavenly kingdom. That should make us different from the world. Don't be conformed. Paul said what? After you consecrated your body as a living sacrifice, do not be conformed to this age. This age. Today's department of that satanic cosmos. Be different from this age. Don't be conformed to it, but rather be renewed in your mind and be transformed in our thinking. You know, I'm touching all these things that are more inward because that's where everything begins. That's the source. I'm different. We're different. You know, the husband has to tell the wife and the wife to the husband, dear, we are just different. This is a different marriage. This is a different family. We raise our children differently, not weirdly, but differently, but normally. Those people who are in the world, the worldly people, they are for the world. That's all they know. But we, the believer of Jesus, we belong to not the world. We belong to Christ with his church. And we're here for Christ with the church. And it is good to settle this matter. Otherwise, you'll always be like this, a bit one foot in the world, one foot in the church or in the Lord. And there's never a demarcation. There is never a clear separation. Baptism is a separation. Through the Red Sea, in the Old Testament type, we have left Egypt. We're here in the wilderness to serve Jehovah. And so we need to make a strong, clear determination and conclusion very intelligently. This is not just stirred up. This is an intelligent, reasonable thing. And day by day, what are we doing? We're here, unlike the world, just pursuing the world. You know, it says the anxieties of life and the deceitfulness of riches are all these things that choke the word. So that the seed, or the seed that was sown in the heart, so that it does, cannot grow. We are not here to be like that. We don't live like that. Filled with the anxieties of this life, and being deceived by the pursuit of riches and all the things that go with that. We live to the Lord. We are for the Lord. Our time is for the Lord. Our time is holy. Our time is godly. We are just not the same. We all have to make that decision. And so as we're constrained by the Lord's life, we just live to him so simply, so right. This is so right. Lord, we just live to you. It's just that is. I mean, how wonderful, how beautiful it is if I see a young couple or middle-aged couple, a couple with children, grown children, I don't know, but they would say to each other, dear honey, we are different. We live to someone else. We're in the world, but we're not part of it. The lusts of the eyes, the lusts of the flesh, and the pride of life, we're not for those things. We live a life, we do a job, we raise our children, we do many things that is just humanly proper to do. But we are to the Lord. We're for him. Our eyes are heavenward, not earthward. Our meaning is different, and our purpose in life are entirely different from the worldlings. And now I come to my point, burden today, is if we mean business like that, I think we need to recover this little phrase. If we mean business with the Lord in this way, if we mean business for the Lord's best, the Lord's recovery, God's economy. If we really mean business and not play around, not here in a game, well, we have to prove that. We have to demonstrate that. By what? By looking at our lives. Looking at our lives, we need to order our lives. We need to arrange our lives in a way that will help us, that will cause us to live to the Lord and to His service. So I like to say four things now as a structure to my fellowship today concerning how we should live our lives, how we should order our lives. You know, if you live for that, you order your life to live that way. Let's say I have the ambition to become the president of the United States. Well, I better order my life somehow with a plan, with a schedule, with a commitment, with the view to one day I will go to become a congressman and become a mayor, a congressman, a senator, and something else, and I'll become the president, right? You order your life because you have a goal. You have a view. You're living to that. We're living to the New Jerusalem, aren't we? We're living to the kingdom. We're living to the Lord, to the church. So how do we order our lives? I'd like to mention four things very quickly. Number one, we need to sanctify our lives. That means what? That means we need to set our lives apart or separate our lives. You know, sanctify, the first meaning is that it is separate from something common. You know, today everyone is living a common life according to worldly definition and standard. But we're not of that world. So our lives, whether it's my personal life, my marriage life, my family life, and even my job life, career life, I sanctify them. I separate them. Sanctify has another meaning, means made holy. Made holy. You can use another word for sanctify, that is to purify. You separate, you purify, you cleanse it, and you just take it out of the common realm. We sanctify our lives. All of the life that we live today. This is very, very important. If our life is just like the world, we're just rolling in the mud. We're just like everyone else doing what they do. And, it is not this. Our life is not normal as far as God is concerned. We need to separate our lives. I'm burdened for a separation, an inner separation that may even become some outward separation. Separate from the world. You say, I serve the Lord, I'm for Christ and the church. But saying that, even with a sincere heart, is one thing. But we don't have a life to support that consecration. We don't live in a way that will cause us and that will help us to live the life unto the Lord, for the church. The church and the world are diametrically opposed. They're in two different realms. Pray, you know, even husband and wife, go back. And Lord, what does this mean to sanctify our lives? Are there something that you need to touch? Are there something that you need to expose? Are there something that you want us to deal with? I don't know. And we have no outward regulations. We have no rules in the church life, but we have the Lord within us. The Lord will tell you. The Lord will tell you, what about that? What about this? What about that aspect of your life? That the time you spend on those things that is not sanctified, not so clean, not so holy unto me. If we mean business, brothers and sisters, we need to do that. To set ourselves apart from sinful things, worldly things, common things unto the Lord. Now, if you do this, I'll tell you the Lord will confirm. The Lord will vindicate. The Lord will bless your consecration. Number two, we need to simplify our lives. And another way I want to say this is to singularize. You know, is there such a word? I don't even know. As a verb, the word singular. Singularize. You know, today the big thing is multitasking. I can do many things at the same time. And one of those things is the Lord. But brothers and sisters, we need to singularize our life. And singularizing our lives to one purpose, to one goal, will require that we simplify our lives. Life is already complicated, right? And burdensome and filled with anxieties, just life. We don't need to make it more complicated. We don't need to have more things added to our lives. In fact, we probably need to, let me use this word, unclutter our lives. You know, some people, they're just hoarders. They you go to their house, you couldn't even walk through the living room because they have so many objects and things that they have accumulated over time, and they won't let it go. And a cluttered physical life would mean a cluttered mind, wouldn't it? Things and anxieties and this and that that we don't need to. And I use another word for simplifying our lives, to untangle ourselves. It says in Timothy that those who are a soldier, you know, they would not entangle themselves with the affairs of life, that they may please the one who enlisted them. That, you remember that word? If anything today, we need to disentangle. And, you know, the word disentangle has the meaning of being disensnared. You know, entangle means to be snared, to be trapped, to be caught in some trap. I tell you, brothers and sisters, the world has a way of trapping us and ensnaring us and keep us, preoccupying us and keep us heart, mind, time, every way to do its bidding. You know, the time that we all spend so much on our devices, on the internet, I mean, all the social media and all these things, I forget about the content, you know, just how it preoccupies you. You know, if you are on Facebook or Instagram, what will preoccupy you is, how can I do something more to that I get a few more likes, you know, on Instagram? How can I get myself to have more following with a thumbs up? Why are we spending time on that, brothers and sisters? This is only complicating our lives. We need time, more time to not get somebody's thumbs up, to get the Lord's approval. How about that? The Lord's happiness with us. How about that? Isn't that more important? Many, many things just takes us hours on end and this and that. And we say, oh, we're for the Lord. I'm here to serve the Lord. You cannot, just because your life is so preoccupied, so entangled. We're supposed to follow the Lord with a singleness of heart, with singleness of mind. Don't multitask God, dear saints. He's not a task that you multitask as one of the things you do. When you're with the Lord, be with him alone, no one else, no competition, no distraction. Even when you fellowship with the Lord and pray to the Lord, and in principle, the way we live, let's unclutter ourselves. We're not like the world, brothers and sisters, just filling themselves with this or that, and as it's, our life is complicated already. I got a lot of help from Brother Lee. He said, we Christians, lovers of Jesus, we should just be simple people, just so simple. All our time, I mean, our heart is just for him. If we like this, no telling how much time we redeem. Not just time, how much heart we redeem. And how much energy, how about that? Energy, brain energy we redeem for the Lord. To pray, to meet with the saints, to shepherd people, to preach the gospel, to get into the ministry, to study the word. We have time, except those times have been snared, entangled by so many things. We need to proclaim war, declare war against these kind of things. Not some big evil thing, but just all these little things in our daily life. Just wasted our time, took our time away. Take our time away. Take our heart away. Next, concerning ordering our lives, is we need to prioritize our lives. Prioritize. You know, to live your life, you need a priority. You know, like I say, if you want to become the president, you prioritize your life. You order your life in a particular way to reach that goal. Yes. You need to prioritize. This prioritizing your life will help us to budget our lives in a proper way. We have only so many hours, so many minutes. We all have the same, but your priority may be different than mine. Am I right? So this is more important to you. That is more important to me. But here I'm talking about a kind of common priority. That is the Lord's need, the Lord himself. Now, each one of us, according to our circumstances and situation, are different. I'm not here to suggest we all do the same thing. I'm not saying that. But I am saying in principle, we need to prioritize our schedule and our lives so that they are suitable, fitting for living to the Lord and to serve Him. That's all I'm saying. And you know what that means? I don't know. In your particular stage in life, in your particular circumstances, the Lord will lead you if you do this exercise. And from time to time, we need to reprioritize. Am I right? Life changes. The station in life changes. And you have to constantly, look at your plan in your life and look at your to prioritize or order your life again in a fresh way so that you can budget, you can schedule your life in the best way possible, in the most suitable, something that is the best for the Lord and for yourself too. I'm not saying you should not take care of yourself, your marriage, your children. Do that. But all things under this divine priority. And then finally, I would say regulate your life. You know, a life that is unregulated, it's a life probably mostly wasted. A regulated life is a disciplined life. It's a life that is scheduled, a life that is budgeted, a life where your time, your energy, even your finances are budgeted. Your care for your family, your children that are all legitimate and necessary and proper, even those things are all properly budgeted. And it is because in many instances, we don't regulate our lives. We don't order our lives in that way. We ended up with, oh, I don't have time for this. I don't have time for that. Actually, you do. You never schedule. You never budget. And so tons of times are wasted. Now, maybe not to sinful things, but to nothing, to meaningless things. So for this, you need to have a simple schedule. I'm not saying we have something all the same, but we all need to set a schedule of time, even weekly and daily, for so many needs. First of all, the Lord's, and then our own needs, our family needs, our spouse's needs, our children's needs. Yes, do that. But remember tithing. That is the priority. So the Lord does not get squashed and lost in the shuffle. He is number one. But then you take care of other things. Seek first. Isn't that priority? First, the kingdom. That's priority. And all these other things will be added to you. Order those things as well, but with the kingdom in view. And you need to order your lives to budget, even your strength. You know, even your strength. Saints, even your energy needs to be apportioned and allotted. Some people spend way too much time at the gym. You don't need to. Let me tell you, you want to be muscle man? You want a picture on Instagram? But what is it all about? Yes, we need to be healthy. We need to be fit. I exercise. But reasonably, don't think if you have tons of muscle, you will live longer. In fact, it may not happen that way. I'm just using that as an example. Dear saints, even our strength, our energy is not ours. It's the Lord's. Our finances. Regulate our finances. And some of us don't care how much, how we spend money. We don't know how to manage our finances, and so you have a lack there and this and that. Nowadays with inflation, we're all forced to have to budget, am I right? To do certain things so that we don't unawares or carelessly waste money, and our money is actually not ours, it's also the Lord's. And then other things as well. Here we're just talking about the three main things: time, energy, and your possessions or finances. That there are other things. Dear brothers and sisters, we say we offer ourselves to the Lord. We give ourselves, our bodies to Him. It has to mean something. We have to do something. And I will tell you, brothers and sisters, even apart from Christ, if you don't order your life like this, your life will be quite messy. But now we are talking about the Lord. And I would just say before I show you something here, is if we live in this more strictly, more in a more disciplined way, in a more regulated way, I tell you, our life would be happier. We will have time, right? We will have the finances, we'll have the energy to do the things that we need to do. And this is the big and, we will never shortchange God. We will not, as I come back to the early what I said, we won't owe the Lord any debt. I mean, after this slave in Luke 17, after he served so much, he still was unprofitable. There's still a debt to be paid. And Brother Lee said, we should live in a way not owing the Lord anything. My goodness, that means we need all the time that we can accumulate to, quote, pay the debt. You know, Paul says, I am a debtor of the gospel to you who are in Rome, and so on and so forth. Paul was a man of debt. He is under debt, sense of debt that drove him to preach the gospel the way he did. And brothers and sisters, these songs by Havergal, the sense that how much we owe the Lord, how much we owe the Lord. We have no right to misspend our life. We have no right to waste our lives because our lives have been redeemed by Him. It belongs to Him. It is for Him. So let's do something here in a very practical way so we don't owe the Lord. One day when we see Him, I did my best. I did my very best. Now, brothers, can you turn to that page that I have asked you to think? Okay, here it is. Here is I call it a sample schedule. So, underline sample. So this is not standard. This is not something as a legal thing for you to follow. But many years ago, over 15 years ago, in the training, for the sake of those who are graduating from the training to go to work or so to get on with their lives, I just put something together in a very simple way. You see those verses, redeeming the time because the days are evil, Ephesians 5:16. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service, Romans 12:2. And this very touching verse, teach us then to number our days. I surely can say this now over 70. My goodness, how we number our days. Wisdom is in how we number our days. Psalm 90:12. Now, what I have here is just a very much a sample, kind of a generic type of a schedule from Lord's Day to Saturday. You know, taking into account certain basic things we do in the church life. And this is for working saints. You see all those yellow boxes? That means work. You're doing a job. You're going to work. All right? We take all that into account. I won't get into the details. You have the green, meaning all the times you would set apart for the Lord, for the Lord's interest, for time to be with the Lord, to touch spiritual things, to serve, and all of this. And the sort of orange color are all the times you eat, you know, your breakfast, your lunch, your dinner, standard, right? And the blue are all the commuting times. Let's say you need to commute. Nowadays, more people are working at home, but anyway, built in time for commuting. And then at the bottom, the gray, the sleep time. Well, we need to sleep, right, to get the proper rest. You see? So here it is. Now, can you go down? Roll down. Yeah, keep going. Okay, here it is. So I did a little calculation, I feel, in a very reasonable way, not in some radical, reckless way. And I come up with hours of sleep per day, 8 hours on the average. So there would be 7 days a week. We sleep 56 hours a week. This is on the average, all right? And then work time, 40 hours a week, kind of common, standard work week. And meals, it will take you, you know, maybe up to 16 hours to eat, right, properly, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Commute, I put 7 hours back and forth on the work days, Monday through Friday, all right? Then I put in green, consecrated to the Lord, your morning revival time, your personal prayer time, your Bible and ministry reading time. I work all of that in. Companion prayer and fellowship, gospel and shepherding, church meetings, the Lord's table, prophesying meeting, prayer meeting, home meeting, practical service in the church. I added all to that all that time together, and I came up to 21 hours. 21 hours. I mean, it's there. There's time. And then I said free time. Free time. Downtime. That is left 28 hours, almost 30 hours of downtime, you know, to do some recreation, to do things with your family, to do many things. 30 hours. So I have here total waking hours, 122 hours. Working time is about 36%. Eating time, 14%. Commuting time, 6%. And the consecrated time to the Lord is only 20% or 19%. And even you have more free time than consecrated time of 25%. And there you have it. And so what do we have here? The total hours that we have per day is 24 times 7 is 168 total hours. And then sleep hours, 8 times 7 is 56 hours. That means we have 112 awake hours right there, waking hours. And of that, 40 hours of work. And then there's still 72 hours. And we're just talking about 21 hours of consecrated spiritual hours to the Lord. That average is just 3 hours a day. You can actually have 3 hours a day if you budget for the Lord. That may be, this includes your time with the Lord, morning revival. This includes your time in the Word to read the ministry. This includes time that you pray with some your companions. This includes time you attend all the meetings and so on and so forth. That's the total time. And you still have personal hours, right, for your own needs, for, you know, you know, to live this life that we should live properly. Right there. Okay, can you close this screen? Thank you. Well, dear saints, if you like to, this can be sent to you, not as a legal requirement. Every situation is different. But I'm making a point. I'm making a very strong point. If we mean business, if we mean business, friends, sisters, let's not shortchange the Lord. Let us mean business and do something with our lives, time, energy, and our possessions, our marriage, our family, our health, even to take care of our health, that is a proper thing. Do that. But don't owe the Lord. And if you order, we order our lives in this way, you find that we have the time to fulfill our commitment, to meet the Lord's present need. I stop here. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord for such a word. I just was considering the wonderful order that the Lord is speaking to us. First, to gain our heart, to gain our consecration. I just feel like the days are becoming darker and darker. And by the Lord's mercy, we are here in this place under his shining. And what a reasonable thing that we can be all in for the Lord's sake. Renew our consecration like a husband and wife, not just a one-time consecration, but day by day, even moment by moment, to be reconsecrated in our whole being to the Lord. And then secondly, to see practical application of this. And one thing that happens when we do have our time ordered and scheduled and budgeted is you get more of it. It turns out you can go further with the same. You have 24 hours, but more happens, more for the Lord. Even the Lord is no man's debtor, and you will not suffer a loss as a result. So may the Lord not only move us inwardly, but cause us to rise up, to take action according to what we've been seen, been shown. Amen. So for the schedule that was just given, I'm not sure if the brothers are able to put it in the chat now so that we all can access it. We will also attempt to make it available after this. But while that's being worked on, a reminder, our next gathering will be October 29th. So Saturday, October 29th. Amen. Okay, so perhaps it cannot be put there now. We will make it available, and we will send out an announcement for those for you all to get access to it. Amen, saints. Praise the Lord. Maybe we can have a little prayer and end here.